Okay, fine. If I have the back end, I'll back out. We have time. I have time till Sunday. We'll hack it out. Okay. I want to discuss in Yoni Purim. Tiny Sester, I don't think it's the best time to do it. It's too late in the game to do Avoda, to work on the Purim Avoda. Aside from the fact that the Shmuz is a function of the end of the week and there is Shir next Thursday, so there's no excuse to give a Shmuz on Monday. So now is the time to... There goes the cool end of Umrah. Fine. So therefore, I'll talk about Purim today. There's a Medrash in Bereishis Rabo. It brings a Maiso that Rabbi Kiva was once giving a shir, and he saw that the participants were dozing off. So he wanted to spur them to focus. So he raised a light question to the Olam. He asked them, he said, how come Esther Amalka was Zoha to be the queen over 127 provinces? That's a tremendous amount of territory. It's a lot of territory, 127 medinos. What was the zchus that she had that allowed for her to have 127 provinces under her control? Rabbi Kiva answered, it was in the zchus of Sara Imenu. Because Sara Imenu lived to the age of 127. And so, corresponding to the Sara Imenu's age of 127, her descendant, Esther, was zochet to 127 provinces. That was his answer to his question. So in a simple level, he's trying to wake people up and saying a nice light question. But we understand that there must be a little bit more going on here. What was the exact message that he was trying to convey? If this was the vort that he picked, there are a lot of light vorts you could say over. And if this was the vort that he picked, then clearly there was an underlying message he meant to send to the Chevra when he said this over. The question is, what was the message that he was trying to convey? So I want to build this out of an interesting Shtekel Torah that I heard from Rav David Willig. I used to once in a while, I visit before I moved to Kew Gardens, I visited my sister there. And when I go to my sister, so Rav David Willig is my Rebbe in Deir Ez, and I would visit him. He lived down the block. So many years back, I went to visit Rav Willig, and he told me over a piece from his brother, Rav Mordechai Willig, which I want to share with you. I'm going to make a small modification, but it's the same word. We know in Shabbos Mevarchim, every Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh, so we say a special tefillah after Musaf, or right before Musaf. We say, Yirotzim Lufanacha, Shetachadish Alin HaZachodesh Hazeh, we're asking that in the upcoming month, we should be zocher to the following brachos. We ask for Chaim Shal Shalom, Chaim Shal Tova, Chaim Shal Bracha. In this month, we should have peace. We should have good. We should have bracha. We should have parnasa, etc. Okay. There's one phrase here that, if you think about it, doesn't make so much sense in the context of when it's being said. And that is Chaim Aruchim. We ask that in the upcoming month, we should have a long life. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please, this month, I want to have a long life. Chaim Aruchim. And the question is, what does it mean to ask that we should have a long life in the upcoming month? That's the question that Rav Willig posed. So, I want to present his answer through the lens of a story. A mice that took place in the 1950s. There was a Yid, Rav Mordechai Shapiro, not the singer, who lived in America, and he traveled to Eretz Yisrael. And he was in Tel Aviv on an Erev Shabbos, and he went to a kiosk in Tel Aviv. And he heard somebody asking the owner to buy cigarettes. And the owner said, or this kiosk said, it's after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos, I don't sell cigarettes after Chatzos and Erev Shabbos. So this piqued the interest of Rav Shapiro. You know, there's something going on behind the scenes. We have a Hilig Yid here. So he sparked the conversation with this owner. And he asked him, what's your name? The guy said, my name's Yankel. Some hard to pronounce last name. Yankel or something. And he introduced himself. He's from America. His name's Rav Shapiro. Okay. Once he told the store owner that he's from America, that Rav Shapiro's from America, so Yankel, this store owner, started going back into the recesses of his mind, and he said, I want to tell you a story about America. Or, you were sparking a memory in my mind. He grew up in Minsk, this Yankel fellow, and in Minsk, at that time, we're talking, I guess, before World War II, in Minsk, it was a very dangerous environment. On the one hand, there were very chashuva learning matzavim that existed there, but it was a very dangerous environment, very exposed to the ideologies of the time. Before World War II, there were a lot of very dangerous ideologies that swept up the youth and took them off the derech, and Minsk was exposed to this type of environment. And there were two up-and-coming chashuva children that were in Minsk at the time, and Reuven Grzovsky wanted to get them out of Minsk and get them to Slobodka Yeshiva so that they can, you know, be saved from the environment and keep developing. But they needed money for a ticket. So this kiosk owner said that I paid for the ticket. I donated the ticket for these two kids. He explained that he was a butcher and he had a practice. Every time that he made a ruble, he would separate one kopeck for Hachzakas HaTorah, the Machzik learning Torah. And that was his fund. When things would arise, he I don't know, it doesn't sound like so much money, but he was scraping away. And when the need arose, yeah, he had a fund to help people out. So I used that money and he paid for the tickets. And he said that I don't remember the name of both kids, but one of the kids' name was Arika Sislovitzer. One of the boys' names was Arika Sislovitzer. And I know he went to America, and I heard that he started yeshiva. Do you know anything about him? Rav Shapiro looked at him, and he said to him, Arika Sislovitzer is Rabbi Aaron Cutler. And he was blown away by the Yid's mysterious nefesh of scraping away from his savings to pay for a ticket to get Rabbi Aaron Cutler to Slobodka Yeshiva and to develop. And he was so blown away that he went back to America and he said this over at the Torah Masorah convention. This whole Maisa. And he got to the punchline and he said, Arika Sislovitzer. And in America, they knew what that meant. And everyone was, all of a sudden, at the punchline, people were getting excited. And at the head table, there was a big commotion that took place. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gets up at the head table and he says, I was the second boy. I was the second boy. If you look back in retrospect, if you think about what this yid accomplished with that pashuta deed, he scraped off a little bit of money from his savings, and we're talking in Europe, not in our affluent society, and in our pizza and shawarma society of America. We're talking about a European society where things were a little different then. And he scraped away at his savings, and he did a pashuta act. He bought two train tickets to save two yidden. Who did he save? Rabbi Aaron Cutler and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. The entire America hinges on Rabbi Aaron Cutler and Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. We're talking even without all the yeshivas that they accomplished, but who they were themselves, and the entire American infrastructure is based on Rabbi Aaron Cutler. This single deed that this yid did, he's going to have the entire zechus of all the Torah of America till Mashiach comes is going to be on his scales because of that one pashut act that he did. When we ask for Chaim Aruchim, we're asking Kadosh Baruch Hu that for this month we should do deeds that have deep, intrinsic, long-lasting significance. We shouldn't waste the month with superficial, transitory, meaningless vanities. We should do things this month that are going to have real kishkas to it, real significance to it. That's what we're asking when we ask for Chaim Aruchim from Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Schwab says that Sari Imenu had this quality. Sari Imenu had the quality of Chaim Aruchim. The Pasuk says, at the beginning of Parshas Chayesara, Vayu Chayesara, Meyashanav Eshem Shanav Shevashanim, Shnei Chayesara. Sari Imenu, when she died, she lived 127 years. Okay. Now there's a redundancy in the Pasuk here. It says she lived two times. Vayu Chayesara, and Sarah lived. These are her years. 127. Shnei Chayei Sarah. Those were Sarah's years. It's repetitive. Two times it says, these were her years. What's pshat in the repetition? So Rav Schwab says something, it's a little chilling, but this is what he says in the Me'ein Beis HaShoeva. He says that there are two ways of calculating a person's life, a person's age. There are two methods of measuring a person's age. One method of calculation is his biological age. 20, 25, 60, 70, 80. But there's a second way of measuring a person's age, and that is based on his spiritual accomplishment. How much have you been accomplishing in life? How much have you actually done something meaningful, and how much of it was used in the opposite? Says Rav Schwab, it's a little bit powerful, a little bit scary. He says you could have a person who's biologically 80, but spiritually he's a 15-year-old. Because most of his life he wasted his time in the vanities of the world, watching TV, surfing the net. How much of the 80 years of his biological years are actual real years of life, or spiritual life? In contrast to that, says Rav Schwab, the tzaddikim, we're not like that. But the tzaddikim, the biological age, and the spiritual age are in perfect harmony. And that's exactly what the pasuk means to say. Vayu chayei Sarah, that Sarah lived biologically to 127. Shnei chayei Sarah, these were all used, the entire time were used, batzmuso, that was her spiritual age as well. She didn't just waste any of those years. Every single year of her life was used for intrinsic, deep, significant reasons, purposes. The Chiddush HaRim uses this point to answer up the original kasha by Rabbi Kiva. When Rabbi Kiva was giving the shiur, running out of time here. When Rabbi Kiva was giving the shiur, he saw that the people were dozing off. And he wanted to give them musar to wake them up. What was the underlying message of the fact that Sarah Aminu's age, 127, corresponded to the 127 provinces? What he meant to say was as follows. I'm Hasidish, we're going Hasidish here. So he meant to say as follows, that if Sarah Aminu, right, if her 127 years corresponded to the 127 provinces of Esther Malka, that means he could start breaking it down and doing the math. That means for every year that she lived, she was amassing a new Medina for her descendant. Right? Every single year she lived, there was one new Medina being added to her descendant. If you break it down further, every month that she lived, we can call a city. Every month of Sarah Aminu, she was amassing cities for her descendant. Every day, maybe a block. There's a new block being acquired on behalf of her descendant. He was saying every single second is precious. Every second of time is accomplishment. We're here to accomplish. How can you sleep during a shir? You can't replace it. It's an extra Medina. It's an extra city. That was the message of Rabbi Kiva. This is a crucial message in general for this particular tkufa of your age. The next 5 years are the most important years of your lives. You can never get these years back. You can never, ever, ever get these years back. Even if you go into Kollel and you learn for 20 years, I'm not saying you have to, you don't have to, we'll wait for a Q&A again. But whatever you do, I just mean to dramatize it. That these years are the ikkar years of learning, and it's the time to really try your best to take advantage of the Rebbeim here and the morning Seder, night Seder, everything. You can never, ever, ever get back these years of your life, no matter what you do in life. And it's kedai to chaperayim. What? We'll stop here. We'll leave for another time. Okay. Shkai Chabra. Okay.